The Youth's Instructor, December 8, 1898. The Higher Education. The Youth's Instructor, December 8, 1898. The Higher Education. Education means much, very much, to every child and young person. To educate means to impart that knowledge that will enable the mind to grasp and contemplate those things that will be for the student's highest present and eternal good. The contemplation of the Word of God will make us wise unto salvation. The knowledge of this Word will ensure our happiness and our success in the perfection of Christian character. All who in faith receive the Word of God will be doers of that Word. Their minds will be enlarged by a true knowledge, which Christ represents as eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of God. And as they practice the truth, they hold forth the Word of life to others. Thus they become an influence among influences, a savor of life unto life. Christ said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Satan will do everything he can to satisfy the appetite for food that does not pertain to the knowledge of the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Those who retain the grosser traits of character, who continue to reveal human defects in their words and disposition, bear testimony that they are not eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of God. Christ says, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." The truest, the most exalted knowledge is found in the Word of God. In its simplicity, there is eloquence. There are those who will grasp the words of the supposed great men of the world and love to dwell upon their phraseology as something they need to esteem and value. You will hear men exalting human beings, extolling those who are called great by this world. In doing this, they lose sight of Christ in the Word. He is not to them all and in all, the first, the last, the best, in everything. These need to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of him whom to know aright is life eternal. In reading the Word of God, in studying the meaning of that Word, in bringing its principles into the heart and life, the youth may eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God. Then the mind will be enlarged by a true saving knowledge. The heart will be softened, subdued, refined, expanded. They will be partakers of the divine nature and will become one with Christ. They will communicate their knowledge to others that it may bless mankind. The disciple John says, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Whatever our profession may be, it amounts to nothing if Christ is not revealed in the actions, in works of righteousness. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we claim to keep God's commandments? No, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Christ is our personal Savior. And if we are his disciples, our wrongdoing will cease. Unrighteousness will come to an end. The strife to be first will no longer exist, for Christ will be formed within the hope of glory. Pure and undefiled religion will be seen in our lives. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is the result of an experimental knowledge of Christ. The truth admitted into the heart will be seen in the sanctification of the receiver. There will be a continual growth in grace, a preparation to accomplish that work that God has appointed us. We shall answer the purpose for which we were redeemed. There must be a continual work going forward in us. We are to gain a more intelligent knowledge of how to work. The individual worker will receive an education that will be of the highest value to himself personally and will qualify him to reach and save his fellow beings. When Christ called the disciples from their fishing nets, he told them that they were to be fishers of men. They were to communicate the truth to others, casting their nets on the right side of the ship. By this, Christ meant that they were to work in faith to save souls. And this work for individuals would, in the providence of God, lead them to work for communities. So God desires that the youth shall become skillful, thorough laborers, wearing Christ's yoke, lifting his burdens. We are laborers together with God, he says. Children and youth should seek to advance in understanding, in mental acquirements. In spiritual as well as temporal things, their aim should be to work on the plan of addition. The Apostle Peter says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. All these virtues are essential and will develop in the character of the receiver the attributes of Christ. They will enlarge his knowledge of the spiritual graces, and he will desire to impart to others. Selfishness will not harmonize with advancement in true education. True knowledge comes from God and returns again to God. His children are to receive that they may give again. Those who, through the grace of God, have received intellect and spiritual benefits are, as they advance, to carry others with them to a higher excellence. And this work, done to promote the good of others, will have the cooperation of unseen agencies. As we faithfully continue the work, we shall have high aspirations for righteousness, holiness, and a perfect knowledge of God. We shall be complete in Christ in this life, and shall take our increased capabilities with us to the courts above, there to continue the higher education.